The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself, Tommy Dreamer, and Bully Ray talk AEW Dynamite from last night. Also, in the world of Impact Wrestling, some breaking news on today's podcast. Team 3D is getting back together, and we speak to D-Von, Hall of Famer D-Von, tag team partner of one of the most decorated tag teams of all time. That's right. Bully Ray and D-Von talk about reuniting right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
Last night, MJF said some interesting things when he was at the dodgeball park or the trampoline park playing dodgeball with Adam Cole and the children. And he was saying stuff to the kids like, I was with your mom, or I slept with your mom, and I'm your dad. And he said something. He said something else. What was the last thing that he said? Something
it was
else.
All about, around, hit, it was all around kid, hit,
hitting kids in the face with dodgeballs, and then the little girl giving the middle finger. So last night on After Dark, You're adopted.
I think was the last
right.
one.
So last night I did get one phone call. It was actually from Dr. Bob, the brain surgeon from Maryland, who did not like what MJF had to say, did not like the middle finger from the little girl. So let me ask you guys, how did you feel about that segment last night and what MJF was saying and what they had the little girl do?
I have to admit, Bully, I laughed out loud.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just asking you guys your
opinion. I laughed out loud, and I don't think it was anything bad, because obviously it was a lot of editing and cutting and stuff like that, so I don't think he actually hit those kids with the dodgeball, and I don't think he actually said those things to the kids as well. I mean, that's the beauty of TV in Hollywood, but I laughed out loud.
Tommy?
I laughed, too. It didn't bother me at all. I mean, I get it. There's also, I mean, not that my kids were old enough to remember, but my kids were on The Sopranos, and you know, there was cursing going on. There's a lot of stuff. My kids were too young to remember that, and kids are, you know, innocent. If you're a child actor, you know, they tell you what to do, and you know, you go out there and do it. Don't know if they know what the middle finger means or all that stuff, and it's just like, okay, you're acting. And there
especially
are kids
like
that are so young that do just do that as working actors, even at that age.
Especially
you kind of get upset when Dave curses too much on this show, and you being the dad of twin daughters, you're okay with encouraging a 10-year-old girl to give the middle finger to somebody on television?
They were not my children, and it did not offend me. No, I laughed.
And Bully, I grew up watching
sports. That's the entertainment part of sports entertainment.
And I grew up watching the Bad News Bears. So, like, you know, when you look at the Bad News Bears, that's nothing compared to that. So no disrespect to Dr. Bob, who we love. And I love that the fact that he listens to Busted Open while he performs brain surgery, which, again, that to me, that's a commercial. But no disrespect to him. I understand where he's coming from, but I laughed. And again, my warped sense of humor. I grew up watching Bad News Bears, so there you go.
Would you be Tanner Boyle or Lupus, Dave?
You know what? I could say I'm Tanner all I want, but Bully, I'm sure you would say I'm Lupus. So there you go.
You booger eating moron.
The kid that in the movie Airplane with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, where Abdul-Jabbar snatches him up. He's like, tell your dad, you know, cuts a quick promo on him. It's the same thing, in my opinion. Also, you're the kid who ate fried chicken while he was pooping on the toilet.
Okay, Engelberg.
I mean, and you know what's happening right now. I think Garza, one of our nation members, is putting together a Bad News Bears parody with our faces on it. So thanks for that one, Bully.
No problem. My pleasure. Anything for you guys.
But I did like the one thing I will say throughout this, and I kind of like it when, you know, wrestling and sports entertainment takes a little chances at humor, because I did laugh. And they are like, when you look at an MJF and his personality and what he would want to do, and then you look at an Adam Cole and his personality and what he would want to do in his free time, it's funny to watch those two together. I think those vignettes, whether it's at the trampoline park or at the restaurant or at the bar, like, I really have enjoyed these vignettes. And I don't know what's going to happen at All In, but if this does end up the breakup of those two, I'm going to be sad about it, because I think the chemistry between these two, it's kind of like the Odd Couple in a way, right? I mean, we all grew up watching the sitcom The Odd Couple. That's how I feel when I'm watching Adam Cole and MJF right now.
How did you guys feel about the announcement, or Adam Cole suggesting to MJF that they challenge for the Ring of Honor tag championships on the pre-show? Where do you think that's going, and why?
Tommy, what do you think?
No clue. Not a fan of it. I love Adam Cole and MJF. Like Dave said, I think this is really working. I really enjoy every segment they're in. I mean, they've become must watch. When MJF goes so over the top, or as Mark likes to say, glib. And when he's like, oh, you want to have a promo battle, a rap battle? And then when he hits him with the first line, the place explodes. And he's like, Adam, stop, stop, stop. I'm sorry, MJF, stop, stop, stop. But like those quick little liners that he gets out there, just being so over the top babyface, I love. I'm also from the school of Bruno Sammartino. When I'm the champion, I go out there. I make them wait to see me at the end of the night, because people are paying to see the main event. I do not like it. I don't like it for the risk of injury. I'm not a fan. I don't know where they're going. I'm interested to see where they're going. But if I'm a wrestling fan attending that, or if I'm in that spot, I'm using championship privilege. And I'm saying I'm only going on last. I liked how MJF addressed it. And even the fans laughed at it, at what Adam Cole wanted. I would have waited for that for the show right afterwards. There's a big event right after Wembley, right?
Yeah,
All Out
in Chicago.
Yeah, I would have waited until All Out.
Do you guys think that something is going to happen in that pre-show tag match that's going to lead to whatever contract Adam Cole signed but did not read?
Yeah, I think this is all storyline related, Bully. I mean, first of all, to your point, like, I think people are going to tune into Zero Hour, right? You're going to have to watch this. You're going to have to watch Zero Hour before All In to find out exactly what's going to happen in this tag match. And it's interesting, if they win and become tag team champions, that's a story unto itself. And if they lose, that's a story. And then I have a feeling Roderick Strong, who's the biggest party pooper of all time, every time he comes on my TV, it's a shoulder shrug. I feel like he's going to be a factor in that tag match as well.
Okay. Just wanted to see what you guys thought about how those two things would tie in.
I mean,
is interesting to Dave's point that it's going to make people watch it. If you remember Heat before a live pay-per-view, or matches before a live pay-per-view, more so back in the day, they have meaning. In Impact, we do something called BTI, Before the Impact. And those matches are storyline driven. So it will get people to watch it. And even before Impact's shows, they do have matches that, hey, this is your storyline and this is where it's going to, because we couldn't fit it on the pay-per-view. This is direct because, I mean, we don't have the formulated matches for the Wembley show. So do I mind it? No, because I think if you what those matches were supposed to be, it was supposed to be the last second push to get you old school to press the button to doubt, you know, I'm going to buy this pay-per-view because of what I just saw. And they have us hooked just on that.
This is former UFC champion Chris Weidman. Do you want to feel what it's like to get in the octagon with me? Right now, we are bringing the hardest hitting MMA talk on the planet to your podcast feeds with Won't Back Down, a SiriusXM podcast. Every Monday, I'm speaking my mind and taking you inside combat sports like no one else. Every tap, every snap, and whatever else is on my mind. Download Won't Back Down right now on SiriusXM, Stitcher, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Won't Back Down.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Hey guys, Conan O'Brien here to tell you about some of the stranger things we've been doing recently on my podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Recently, we had an episode where I sat down with some of the writers that I worked with on Conan O'Brien Must Go. That's my travel show on Max. And we talked about everything that goes into those shows and a lot of very insane anecdotes from our travels and adventures. There's another episode you might want to check out where I discuss with my physician, Dr. Arroyo, about my experience on Hot Ones. We talk about my near-death experience and his complete inability to help me because he may or may not be a real doctor. That's just some of the stuff that's been going on. And if you feel up to it, check it out. So catch up on all things I've been up to on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
I'll say one thing, and then I'll throw it to you, Bully and Tommy. When it comes to Jericho Appreciation Society, assholes, good luck on your own without Jericho. That's all I got to say. What say you, Tommy?
When they were asking what Jericho has done for them, if I was Jericho, I would have said, get you over.
Yeah.
You listen to the crowd in their responses when Daniel Garcia did his hip thrusts, when Jake Hager talked about his hat, when they all were talking and they were getting reactions. You're now losing those reactions, but that was all because you were attached to the Jericho Appreciation Society. I'm hoping this is a swerve on Don Callis and Don Callis's family. I would love to see Chris and Don work together again, but I hope this is a swerve to go towards against Don Callis. But even his family isn't like an established stable like Bobby Heenan's family, because they would outnumber them. It was very, very interesting to see. I enjoyed the segment. I enjoy everything the Jericho Appreciation Society has brought to the table. But that's also because I know Chris is a stickler for detail. And Chris, if you think about it, I mean, he gave, like I was saying about the Dudleys when they came to TNA, gave them validity. Jericho gave AEW validity when he walked up to that podium. And you were like, wait, what? And that was a complete and utter shock. The guy has continued to crush it each and every week. And he has gotten over not one, but two groups. And Chris Jericho will get anything over. He got his crews over. He got so many, because that's Chris Jericho.
Bully.
Me and Devon will be on the Jericho cruise this year, by the way. So will you, LaGreca.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning me, pal.
I did. Wow. I just did. As far as the Jericho Appreciation Society goes,
you're not even going to give me the time of day on that cruise. I can guarantee you, you're not even going to give me the time of day. You're going to be hanging out with your Hall of Fame friend, Devon, and you're not even going to acknowledge me on that cruise ship. Go ahead.
I agree with you. Anyway.
I need to go so I could say I wrestled on a boat. I don't think I've wrestled on a boat yet.
I think we're going to hit the first 3D at sea.
I like that.
There you go. This better be a swerve, because whenever Jericho is not with the JAS, whether they're backstage doing a promo or at the ring, they are lost puppies. They don't know where they are. They're all younger. But you need Jericho there to help continue to guide them and get over. The only one there that I think really could truly survive on his own is Sammy, because we've seen Sammy get over without, you know, having Chris around all the time. I think these younger talents still need a direction, a leader, a veteran like Chris around. I enjoyed the segment last night. I did not enjoy the placement of the segment last night. I felt like putting it on first kind of put the crowd in its seat, as opposed to that AEW crowd that's used to being up and crazy at all times. I would have put the Young Bucks versus the Hardys on first and had the Jericho segment on second. That's all I got on that.
I agree with it. It seemed odd to start the show that way, and that's what made AEW different than WWE. We've seen a lot in the WWE, them start with a talking segment or that type of segment where the wrestlers are in the ring. AEW always starts off strong, starts off hot with a match, and I agree with you. I think the Hardys and the Young Bucks would have been the perfect way to start that show last night.
Especially because I felt like the Hardys and Young Bucks lacked a little bit of something last night. I didn't feel like the match got the attention that it should have for the first time it happening on television. There wasn't that big match feel. There wasn't that pomp and circumstance. To me, there was just something missing in the arena with the vibe and the feel of the crowd. And I wonder if the JAS segment just kind of drew people down a little bit too much, where they found it a little bit more difficult to get up for the Hardys and the Bucks. Listen, the people were there, but not the way I thought they would be for a legendary tag team and the Bucks, who are the homegrown EVPs, spot guys who always bring the excitement, and who decided to hit a 3D last night and have Jeff Hardy kick out, and I'll have to have a talk with them.
Please, please do. But I agree with you, not just for that. It just seems like the show as a whole seemed like discombobulated. Like, I felt like the match placement, and we talk about it on our show, that match placement is key. You know, that is the roller coaster ride that you decide to put your audience on. I thought all the matches seemed out of place and seemed a little off last night, in my opinion.
Listen. Go ahead, Tommy.
You think about, to Bully's point, that was this Jericho Appreciation Society just broke up. We like the act. Now I'm sad.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to get the people back into it, like Bully said. another part, I would not have had the Hardys walk out with their seconds. This is a, you know, they had Ethan Page and the other guy there. I would have just not had them out there because this is, wow, I've wanted to see this. I've wanted to see this for so long. It is on television, but the mood was changed. One of my favorite groups just broke up. Oh,
what did you think of RVD? What did you think of the match as a whole?
I liked everything that I saw last night in that segment. I liked everything from Jack. I liked everything from Rob. I liked the finish. Good stuff. Jack Perry took a step forward. The people got to hear Walk. The people got to see RVD. They got to see a five-star frog splash. They had the energy and the incitement and the anticipation. If I had the pencil, if I was helping to produce that match, I would have said, guys, what you got is perfect.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, Tommy, especially moving forward, is what Bully said about Jack Perry taking a step forward. And I think he did that. And, I'm telling you, this character fits him to a T, and it's really clicking and it's really working right now for AEW.
And Rob from the waist down is like Dreamer from the waist up. He is heavy as all hell. That's a joke. What I'm saying is, like, Rob's legs, his quads, his thighs, his calves, once they start moving at you, they ain't slowing down. So you got to know how to take his stuff the right way. And Jack did a good job. Jack legitimately pulled out on almost every Rob Van Dam offensive move last night. He completely turned his head. But you know what? I'd rather see the kid turn his head than catch one of those kicks right on the jaw and take care. Hasta luego. Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. Familiar? You should be. Well, now you can catch Mad Dog's Daily Bite each day as a podcast where you'll hear my thoughts and opinions on the biggest topics around the world of sports, NFL, baseball, golf, NBA, even the hockey. That you know you can count on. That's Mad Dog's Daily Bite. Drops daily anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can also hear me weekdays 3 to 6 Eastern on Mad Dog Unleashed, Sirius XM Channel 82, or anytime on the SXM app.
But even bigger than that is that we are going to have back in action on that 1,000th episode is Team 3D. That's right. Whoa. Team 3D is back. And to talk about that and so much more, we bring in Hall of Famer D-Von. Sir, how are you? And thank you so much for the time.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on the show. It's been a long time, I think, since the pandemic. The first start of the pandemic was the last time I was on here. So it's very honored to be back on here.
Well, there's
best
a lot
to buy. Team 3D back for one night and one night only.
Absolutely. I'm excited about that. I really am. I mean, it's been almost 10 years since I've been in the ring. And it's like, you know, riding a bike and, you know, getting off it and getting right back on it again. I think I'm excited about that. I'm waiting to see how much I got left in the tank for me to go, you know, and for me and Bubba to go back and to do our thing. I can't wait.
Well,
D-Von, I think the last time we were in a ring together, the last time we hit a 3D was on the episode of Monday Night Raw, the 25th anniversary, which has got to be what, 7 years now?
7 years ago. But then, you know, go back even further. That was the last time we hit 3D together. Well, we had been in the ring, but to actually wrestle together, it's been almost 10 years and an actual match.
Probably one of our last matches together was in Impact with the Hardys and the Wolves, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, that was exciting because remember, I tore my groin. I said groin.
You still don't know how to say groin.
I remember I was in so much pain. And we did like a TLC match. And how I got through that match was, I have no idea. It had to be God because I was in so much pain from my groin being torn. And, you know, it was probably one of the most painful things I think I've ever had to go through.
And no, I totally remember that.
Try doing radio with Dreamer.
Oh, come on. don't stop. I mean, this is big. Again, the 1,000th episode of Impact, that's big unto itself. But to have this return of Team 3D at the Westchester County Center, I mean, there's a lot of history there. September 9th, tickets on sale. Go and buy it. You're going to want to be a part of history because, like you said, it's been almost 10 years since you two have been together. This is one time, one night only. So if you want to be a part of history, you definitely want to buy tickets September 9th at the Westchester County Center in White Plains, New York. So this is big. And, you know, impact is a big part of the history too, Devon. Like, when I think of some of those great moments, and obviously you're a WWE Hall of Famer, but also a TNA Hall of Famer, impact has been a big part of that history when it comes to Team 3D.
You know, when we left in 2005, WWE, you know, we were looking for a home practically. We went to Japan, we made our niche there, and then we stopped in TNA. We helped, you know, create that tag team division. I had a great time in TNA. I wasn't happy with some of the powers to be behind the scenes, but overall, I thought I had a great run in TNA, and me and Bully or Bubba, we just really, you know, took it to the next level when we got to TNA.
Me and Scott DeMar were talking about, I mean, you guys at that time were one of the biggest free agent signings for that company. Mm-hmm. And I mean, completely gave more validity to the company when it was coming up. And I mean, you guys did have a hell of a run there. You're Hall of Famers. My biggest question is, and I know significance, but like, you know, and I understand your legacy. There's been lately, you know, so many shout outs to, you know, you guys with, you know, 3Ds as well as Get the Tables. For you personally, why is this significant to come back for one more match?
Well, number one, you know, I've had some health issues, and I think that's one of the biggest things for me because of the fact that I had the stroke in 2020. And I almost didn't make it. I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for my wife, who I love dearly and who really, you know, saw that I was having a stroke. You know, the stroke is very a silent killer, you know, and to go through that and to be able to only have 25% on my left side and then had to go to rehab, you know, 2 and 3 different rehabs to rebuild that up. And then my personal trainer, the gym, really helping me to get back to where I was. And then all of a sudden, only 6 to 7 months later, to now go through back surgery. You know, I had L4, L5, and S1 pretty much fused with titanium bolts and everything. So to go through all of that within a short period of time within each other, and now all of a sudden having the opportunity to get back with Bubba and to be on the 1,000th episode of Impact, and to relive the glory that we once had, I think is great. I'm really looking forward to this. And I'm really to see how much, you know, like I said earlier, how much I got left. I think there's a lot left to go with Bubba back in the ring and to do things. And if I'm not mistaken, Tommy, I believe you're going to be along with me. So, you know, if I breathe heavy, or I need to tag out and Bubba ain't on the apron, I'm tagging you. I'm letting you know that.
I'll be rooting you on always, bro, since day one.
Absolutely. You were there. You were there when I had my trial at the ECW arena. So was Bubba. But Bubba wasn't Bubba that we all know now. Bubba was a different Bubba back then. But, you know.
Is that a weight joke?
No.
I'm a body guy now.
It's not a weight joke, although you were pushing the scale very heavy, but
402.
Listen, 402 was yesterday, but today you look phenomenal. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how, you know, and I don't want to sound like you're
know,
my son.
You know how I did it, because you did it the same way back in the day. Test growth hormone and Adderall.
Exactly. I took Batista's bag when he left and went to Hollywood, and I just dabbed a little bit into it.
I did shots of Billy Gunn's sweat. That's how I did it.
Yeah, I think anybody would love to have Billy Gunn's sweat at this point in time.
Hey, you know, since you got your back fused, who was the heaviest person to lift for 3D?
You.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, I had to. Hey, Tommy, if I didn't get you, you were going to get me.
You son of a bitch. Your favorite 3D.
I have to say Lance Storm. Lance Storm was the way Lance Storm got up. And, you know, when I remember when he became an agent in WWE, he carried the pitcher in his wallet. And he still proclaimed that he was the best one to ever take 3D. And he's absolutely right. That picture at WrestleMania was excellent. I mean, it really was. And I looked at him one day. I said, wait a minute, you carry that? He goes, no, not really. He goes, I knew you were going to be here. So I wanted to show you that I was the one that took 3D the best. And he really was.
Devon, if, you know, tag team wrestling these days, there's a lot of really strong teams. When you look in the at the WWE, obviously the Usos, the New Day, teams that we were able to work with and help get to the next level. When you look at AEW, you have the Young Bucks, you have FTR, a lot, you know, I'm just giving you a couple of names that, you know, come to the forefront of my thoughts and my memory. If you get in the ring on the 1,000th episode of Impact and you feel really good and you think you have a lot more left in you, let's just say you think you got a year, a good year left in you, would you want to do this one last time?
Absolutely. Like you always say, I want us to be kissed. I want us to really put the makeup on for the last time, go out there and hit the greatest hits, have a great time with the people, have a great time with each other, and just make history again. I would love that.
And that means I got to keep doing more jobs?
The only bad thing about this one, Dreamer, is that now I'm going to be in his corner. So it's going to be like the old ECW days.
God.
You might have to bring back Sandman.
Yvonne, when you hear other teams go out there, and listen, saying stuff on camera is one thing, but saying stuff in interviews to me is completely different. Like when me and you were on camera in any company, the Dudleys, Team 3D were the greatest tag team of all time. Mm. Yada, yada, yada. We'll tell you anything that you needed to hear in the world of sports entertainment and pro wrestling. You know, when we do interviews outside of wrestling, I know how I am. I'm just happy to be mentioned amongst the greats, against, you know, amongst the Road Warriors, amongst the Rock and Roll, the Midnight, Arn and Tully, the British Bulldogs, yada, yada. When you hear tag teams today proclaim that they're the greatest or they're the best or they're, you know, the Cat's Meow, how do you feel about hearing these teams proclaiming themselves the best? I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I heard FTR proclaim themselves the greatest tag team of all time. And I'm like, I'm not quite sure about that, guys. But how do you feel about hearing these other tag teams saying it?
Well, I'm going to say this. We are the most decorated tag team. There has never been any tag team in the history of this business that has held more title reigns than us. But I've always said this, and you've said this in interviews as well, is that we always thought that the Road Warriors were the greatest tag team in the history of the business. I mean, you know, you have teams like the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, you know, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, you know, Arn and Tully. I mean, you have all these great tag teams that have come before us. What I like to say is when people ask me, they go, you know, do you consider yourself the greatest tag team of all time? And I'm going to be honest with you, I tell them no. I say, it's like Michael Jordan, Dr. J, and LeBron James. For the 60s and the 70s, Dr. J was the man. Then you took Michael Jordan in the 80s and 90s and maybe early 2000s, even when he was with the Wizards, and Michael Jordan reigned supreme. There was nobody better than Jordan. But now you come to this new generation, you have LeBron James. And I'm not excluding Kobe, because Kobe I put in the same category as Michael. I mean, that's the only thing going to get closer to Michael is Kobe Bryant. And so in my opinion, I think that for the era that you grew up in, the era that you're in, I like to say that we're the greatest tag team of our era. I don't want to say all times, because again, you've had so many people that have come before us that have, you know, can honestly say that they're the greatest of all time. I like to say that we're the greatest tag team of all time during our era.
I have a couple questions, if you don't mind.
Here we go.
Because, you know, I kind of feel like with Bully and the relationship that him and I have on air, you know, I've kind of taken the mantle a little bit. Like, you passed that to me, good sir. Like, you know, you're teaming with him. You went to the Hall of Fame. And look at what – and I mean this with all sincerity. How well Bully is done on the air. I mean, I think he's custom made for radio because, let's face it, he's got a personality that either is going to grate you or you're going to agree with, right?
Yes, but, you know, here's the thing I've learned over the years with Bubba. You know, to know, to love Bubba, you got to know him. And, you know, he doesn't take any mess. He says what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He tells you exactly how it's going to be. A lot of people can't take that. A lot of people want to be, oh, you know, it's okay, don't worry about it. Bubba's like, no, worry about it. Have people like Bubba around to let you, to bring you back to reality a lot of times. And that's what you need. And I think a lot of people are scared of that. And that's the problem that a lot of people have with him being so, what they like to call aggressive bullshit. Okay. Stop acting like a goddamn idiot. And maybe you won't have to have people like Bubba call you out. Maybe that's what you need to do.
It's funny,
you
know, because
you have just been put in your corner, LaGreca.
I didn't mean it towards you, Dave.
No,
I'm
no.
Just saying I, in general. Although I've heard you two on the mic go back and forth on it. So, you know, I got to stick up for my brother.
I mean, I think him and I do go back and forth, but I think Bully and you, I think you would agree on this in a respectful manner. Like, I think Bully respects me and I certainly respect Bully. Bully for his knowledge. And I know that Bully understands, you know, what we're able to do together and the magic that we have on the radio. But I agree with you. I think that Bully, and I appreciate, this is what I appreciate about Bully, is he doesn't pull punches. I know when he says something to me, it's the honest to God truth. He's not just saying it to give me word salad or to make me feel better. He's going to give me the truth. And I think there are a lot of people that are afraid of it. Case in point, when you guys were in Impact, I knew that Bully listened to the show and appreciated the show. I must have asked 1,000 times for Bully to be a guest on the show. And Impact PR, TNA PR at the time, said no, would say no, would say no. And then one time, I think, Bully, you actually called me and was like, why haven't you ever had me on your show? And it's like, I've asked for you. They won't. And I finally like went up to PR. And it was because they were just afraid to go to Bully and ask him to do an interview. Like, I was like, that's crazy to me, because I don't think there's anybody that would be a big enough ambassador than Bully. And Bully, I think I told you this story, but maybe I didn't. But the first time we ever had Bully on the show was live in person. It was for one of the pay-per-views. And we had you on, Devon, but we had Bully, we had you on as well. And then PR called you off for something and you had a beer and you left your beer there. And the first thing I did is I just chugged your beer and then put the empty,
it's a little creepy.
And then put the empty bottle where you were. And I thought that would be like a really good icebreaker, because, man, like TNA PR is like, man, just be careful what you ask, Bully. Don't say this, don't say that. And I thought that
don't
would be
poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear. So I thought the perfect icebreaker would be to chug his beer. And then you came back, you noticed that it was empty and you just got a new one. I don't even think you knew I did it, but I thought it would be a good icebreaker. But I think Devon's right. I think you're just somebody that doesn't pull punches, and people are either going to love that about you or they're not going to like that about you. But you're always honest.
You know what, Dave? Here's what I'm going to say. Today's society is so soft. They are so soft and so sensitive. You can't say anything without somebody being offended. Give me a break. You know, back when we were doing what we were doing in ECW, the things that we said, forget about it. But we were having fun. We were enjoying ourselves, and so were the people. So can we do that now? No, we can't do that now, because you'll have somebody out there that'll be so offended about what we did in that ring or what we said, that now all of a sudden they got to protest. Now they got to go on social media and let everybody be heard about how disappointed they are in the Dudleys because they said what they said or did what they did. How about you go, excuse my expression, you go fuck yourself. That's the way I feel.
Bravo.
You go fuck yourself. How about that? You don't like what we got to say? Don't watch us. Go to hell. And that's coming from the Reverend. Go fuck yourself. Okay? That's the way I feel. You know, and I've always said this, you know, Bubba, like, for instance, backstage, you know, were there politics involved backstage? Absolutely there were. But are you mad because you didn't politic as good as maybe Bubba did for what he's did? Or are you just upset in general because you couldn't outsmart him? That's the problem. And I've always said this in countless interviews whatsoever. If you're going to get close, you can't get probably any closer to Pat Patterson, God rest his soul, in terms of putting matches together and things like that, than Bubba. Bubba is that damn good. And I give him that. And I say that all the time. I say that to students at my school. If you want to finish to be done just like that, I can't do that. I got to think, you know, and it might take 4 or 5 days, but Bubba can do it on the drop of a dime, which is freaking phenomenal.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but also Devon, there is the other side of it as well. As much as we're putting him over and complimenting him to the moon, he can be exhausting at times. Like there's got to have been times that you probably put your hand in on your head.
Do you know how many arguments me and Devon have been in?
How many?
One. One. Where am I lying?
No.
One argument.
Here's the deal. We're going at it back and forth, and we're like, F you, no F you, and no F you. Sabu comes over. Guys, you shouldn't fight. You guys are like brothers. We went, fuck you, Sabu. Get the hell out of here. And we start going back. It's one of these things. We can argue with each other. Hell, we might even beat the shit out of each other, which we've done in ECW. But don't you come along and try to do that, because I guarantee you, we will turn on your ass quick.
Devon, do you think we have enough time to explain me and Bully's relationship?
No.
Oof.
Dave, what I wanted to say, Devon, I appreciate the Pat Patterson compliment, because that I take very, very seriously. And thank you very much. That was very nice of you to say. But Dave, what he said is important, and why me and Devon have worked out the way we worked out for 20 plus years. I could not wrestle like Devon could wrestle on the mat. Devon trained by Johnny Rodge. Devon's mat skills and basics and comprehension, far better than mine. That was not my area of expertise. So I could never do what Devon did. And Devon, as he just told you, couldn't do what I did. He didn't have, you know, the mind for the psychology of the match or the booking of the finishes. So when you bring those two things together, the yin and the yang, the black and the white, so to speak, no pun intended, it worked out perfectly.
I mean, when I grew, you know, and I don't mean to cut you off, Bubba, but in Johnny's school, he didn't teach you psychology. He didn't teach you none of that. So I learned the bit that I learned in ECW, and then learned when I was in WWE. We would learn how to wrestle. That was the thing that Johnny taught. Because Johnny and Dreamer will tell you, he's a little crazy. We love him to death, but he's crazy. But he was very good at what he did in terms of teaching in-ring skills. And that's exactly, you know, for the 5.5, almost 6 years that I spent in his school, I just learned how to wrestle. I learned how to grapple, you know.
Hey, Ron, favorite Impact wrestling memory? Other than putting your hand on Dixie's butt and kissing her.
Yes, making out with her, which I'm still mad it never made tape. let me see. The greatest. Man, I don't even know. God, it's been so long. I think one of the greatest moments was having my boy, one of the greatest moments, not the, but having my boys with me. You know, even though they were very young, they were 14 and 15 years old at the time, you know, having them share the ring with me and you at the time, and that storyline, which was very, very good, they did very well. And I was very proud of them to be able to hang with us and do what they did and get the sympathy, especially when Bully put them through a table. I remember going to the back going, Bubba, you didn't have to throw them that hard, bro. I mean, I get it, but come on, man. That was my kids. But no, but that, I think that was one of the most proudest moments. And when we did the weigh-in on the scale. Well, I had to get undressed, and I was in my Speedo. So I was, you know, I was all jacked up on Batista stuff. So I was feeling good. I didn't mind taking my shirt off.
You know, and that brings up this question, because I think, you know, Bully, you and I had this same conversation not that long ago. And that is, like, there always seemed to be a bit of a dark cloud above Impact. Like, Impact was doing great ratings. Impact was getting good attendance. But people seem to, like, want to see its demise for whatever reason. But here we are. We're going to celebrate 1,000 episodes. Why do you feel like it's been able to keep going, keep surviving, and having success?
Devon, you want to take that first? Okay, I will.
You take it first.
Listen, Impact's was very successful for a long time because of the strong mix of creative and the locker room. And when good creative meets great talent, you get a good product. And TNA was doing really strong numbers. Listen, if you want to compare, and everybody's just saying, well, it was a different time, it was this and this, I don't believe in all that shit. TNA ratings-wise blows AEW out of the water. And didn't just do it one time or two times, did it consistently on a yearly basis. So TNA was a strong company and a strong alternative to the WWE, where people went there and got utilized. In my opinion, once AJ Styles left TNA, TNA started its demise, because AJ was the homegrown guy. The whole place was kind of built around AJ, the face of the place. And I think that's what turned a lot of fans off. I also think some of the people that were in power at the time didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Scott D'Amore, as much as I hate him, can't fucking stand that little chunky bastard who celebrated another birthday yesterday. I wish I was there so I could have kicked him in his little fat face. He came in and he built a talent roster and a creative team that is working again. And Tommy, you can speak to this more than I can. Despite my issues with D'Amore, I still know what that locker room is like, and I still know how hard creative works. And TNA's and Impact Wrestling's numbers are growing. Here's a little thing. Last year's Slammiversary pay-per-view, 1,000 buys. This year's Slammiversary pay-per-view, 4,000 buys. Now, I know people might be listening and going, only 4,000? That's a jump of 3,000 buys in a year.
Yeah.
Their ratings have progressively gotten better. Access TV isn't in every home like USA, TBS, TNT. So it's always about the team effort of strong creative meeting a good talent pool and a good locker room. Tommy, would you agree?
Yes, 1,000%. The other part, you know, if you talk about significance, The Simpsons just celebrated 750 episodes of The Simpsons. Impact's going on 1,000. Wrestling fans come to find good wrestling, and they know they'll get it with Impact Wrestling on Thursdays, or when they come to any of the shows, the television tapings, or, you know, that they're going to see, like Victory Road, and then the 1,000th episode.
That's right.
It's already slated to be a great, great time. Trust me.
And that's September 9th. September 9th, the Impact episode 1,000 on September 9th, White Plains, New York. Tickets are on sale right now. You can go to impactwrestling.com. Go to ticketmaster.com. This is going to be history. Team 3D back together again for one night, September 9th. In White Plains, New York. Again, go to impactwrestling.com. Go to ticketmaster.com, the Westchester County Center in White Plains, New York. Make sure you buy your tickets, because this is going to be a historic night. Devon, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations, and I can't wait to see what happens on September 9th.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate being on the show. You guys are doing a hell of a job. Please keep up the great work. And, I mean, again, thank you so much for having me on the show, guys.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.